Now, Mike is just one of our local music show hosts at KUAF. As part of a new monthly series, we decided to interview a few other of our music show volunteers. Each month, as part of the series, we plan to bring together three similar yet different people for a conversation. Yesterday, Ozarks at Large's Christina Thomas spoke with three of our local music show hosts.
I'm Robert Ginsberg. I'm the host of Shades of Jazz on KUAF, and I've been doing this show for over 30 years. I believe it was 1979. At the time, KUAF was a 10-watt lab facility of the journalism department at the University of Arkansas, and it had a high percentage of heavy metal. And there was one guy who was the station manager who came on late at night who did a jazz show, and I became friends with him. I lived right up the street on Duncan, which was where KUAF was at the time. And we became friends, and he called me and said, "Man, I'm graduating, and if you don't do a jazz show, there's not going to be any jazz at all on KUAF." And that's how I got started.
My name is Paul Kelso. I do the Generic Blues Show Friday nights at 9 o'clock. I've been with KUAF 22 years. I took the every other Wednesday spot, rotating with or swapping out with Steve Wilkes, doing jazz on Wednesday nights. Slowly and surely, I kind of got a Friday night spot and been there ever since for about 20 years now.
My name is Daniel Estes, and I host Goodnight Jazz. And my story starts years ago when I worked at a natural foods warehouse, and my manager at the time was Paul Kelso.
I hired you. Got your first job.
He did. Short while thereafter, then after, I started on with KUAF as their, as our office manager. And at the time, P.J. Hrabowski was our music director, and she hosted a classical music show. Every afternoon, we opened up the phone lines to the listeners, and they got to call in with their classical music request. My job was to run from the studio, from our control room, to the music library in search of the Rachmaninoff, Debussy, Bach, whoever it might be, and back again just as quick as I could with the listeners' requests. While I was in our music library, there was a big wall of vinyl, just a big wall of thousands of jazz records collecting dust, sitting there not being used. And I always thought to myself, now there's the good stuff. That's what needs to be played. Well, in 2000, KXUA, the student radio, started, and I asked Rick Stockdale, our station manager, if I could play the records. He gave me permission. I started with the student radio in 2000, and Kyle Kellums asked me in 2005 if I'd like to come on with KUAF and play jazz on Friday nights. The pleasure of following Robert and playing on our public radio, it was just a given. Of course, I said yes. I've been here for 8 years now, spinning vinyl, Friday nights, midnight to 1 a.m., straight up jazz.
Awesome. Well, Robert, 34 years ago when you did your first jazz show, do you remember producing that first show?
I do. It was rough. It's a learning curve, pronouncing names, but doing a jazz show has always been one of the easier, logistically easier than a lot of programming, because a lot of the cuts are going to run from 6 to 12 minutes, so it's not like you're a DJ on a top 10 radio station or anything like that. But I do remember, and I was at a different time slot. I've shifted around. I used to be on Monday nights, and I can remember even when we were 10 watts, there was a guy who called me every week from Winslow, because the signal would kind of bounce in and out of the valleys, and this guy picked up KUAF, and people were hungry for it. In some ways, it's like being a musician without being as disciplined and working quite as hard, because you're sharing music, something that you love. But you have to be presumptuous to a certain extent that your taste is worthwhile enough that it's worth sharing. And, I mean, that's the same kind of presumptuousness that I feel like a musician has to have. They have to presume that they're good enough to share something that's worth hearing. And I think that all three of us would probably agree that when you have a passion for something and you know it's good, then that gives you the confidence to share it. So,
well, Paul, you said that you started out playing jazz,
right?
But now you're playing blues. At what point did you make that switch? Did you
as soon as he could?
Yeah. I mean, did you always like blues? I mean,
I did. Well, when I was 12, my parents let me see the Blues Brothers. That was a pivotal point in my life. I thought that was so cool seeing John Lee Hooker doing that street scene and all. So I always kind of had that something that I really kind of wanted to explore a little bit. So when I got the position doing the jazz, like maybe 6 months into it, and I started to we had a blues CD library that was really starting to grow, and no one was using it. So I started doing, like, I went from 9 to midnight, and I do the last hour. I do that for a few weeks, and all of a sudden, I was doing 2 hours. And all of a sudden, you know, not even asking Rick, I was just doing 3 hours of the blues. And it is all kind of to taste. And it's getting a facelift, blues is. You know, as the old guys get die off, and these new people, they're taking all their influences, and they're kind of putting them into a cake batter, you know, in lack of a better term, but it's coming out the blues, but it's really from what they've experienced, just like it was for the old classic guys who we, you know, that we consider classic, but they learned it from somebody, and they each generation puts a little, you know, their own twist to it.
Do you remember the first song that you played, the first blues song that you played?
I really was into John Hammond at the time. Something like Preaching Blues.
He had performed a lot in town. He was playing down at the Library Club,
yep.
And he was kind of a regular here.
It was probably something like that, because I remember he was like B3. I think he was the third CD that we had in the blues.
B3. That's our cataloging system.
Right, just went right down the line. Yeah.
It was very complex. It was, you know, Dewey
Jazz Decimal. Was J.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Dewey Decimal System, look out.
Now we're trying to do digital, right?
CDs are becoming dinosaurs.
Well, and that leads me into, okay, vinyl. I mean, if CDs are becoming dinosaurs, what are the challenges that you face, Daniel, playing vinyl only?
Oh, it's a pleasure, and it's pretty simple. Just lift up the needle, swing over the arm, and drop it. But with as simple as it is, and I suppose maybe I can blame it on the late hour, I oftentimes, well, on occasion, I will miss the record. But that's part of the joy, whether it's just catching the edge of that record, or when you finally do get your aim just right and you get it down, just to hear that crackle and the pop or the occasional skip. That's a sound from a long time ago that...
Definitely.
But not often heard on the air, and a pleasure to hear for all the unexpected qualities that you'll get from a vinyl from start to finish, with good aim and bad. It's an added pleasure to the already beautiful jazz.
You guys all have day jobs aside from being a music producer for KUAF. How do you find the time to work this into your already very busy schedules?
It's easy to make time for something you're passionate about. Mm. And unlike Paul and Robert, I don't make a playlist. I'll just thumb through the records, see which one catches my eye, put it on the turntable, give it a spin. If I like what I hear, I give it a go.
Paul?
I don't really give it all that much thought unless I have some kind of theme or artist I want to really kind of introduced to, you know, our listening audience, if they're going to play locally or something like that. Kind of like Daniel. I mean, unless I'm doing some type of interview or preview for a festival, I just kind of look through the catalog and what haven't I played in a while? You know, how to just kind of mix it up.
I'll bet both of these guys would agree, when you've done a really good show, you kind of know it. You don't know why it happened.
Oh, when it works.
When it's a really good show, and I don't do playlists anymore. It's fun, because the more you do it, the better you get at it, and the easier it is, and you can kind of, you don't have to spend a lot of time. You can, just like Paul said, something will happen. One cut will lead you to another cut, and oh, this guy's on this cut. Well, he's got his own album, and I happen to bring that, off you go.
Yeah. And actually, back to the question I really thought you were asking was, how do you kind of manage your show with the rest part of your life,
you neglect
work,
the rest
and
of your
family,
life.
Yeah, and it is hard at times. I mean, life goes on. Whether you know your show's gonna have a new show this week, you know, if there's gonna be a new show in that time slot or not, I'm as guilty as any. You gotta play those encore presentations once in a while.
And you guys would agree. I mean, all of us are looking for those experiences in our life where we can shut off our cell phones, turn off the computer, and be in the moment. And that's what this is. If I can speak for all of us, I think that's what doing these shows are. It's that period of time where you shut the rest of the world out. You're not thinking about 20 different things, even though you have 20 different things to think about. And you're focused on, wow, I'm playing music that I love, and I'm going to share it with everybody. And
slowing down the pace after a busy week.
Yeah.
Just taking an hour out for music.
Right. So that's what compels you, and those are the things you fit into your life no matter what.
So you would just say that, you know, being passionate about the music and getting it out there, and I mean, that's kind of what motivates you to continue
It's easy to take a break from music.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you can share music with friends when they come to visit, but they're talking, and radio is different. I think that when you're passionate about it, it becomes the focus of the moment. And, you know, in all of our best wishes, that's what we hope people, that's how they utilize our programs.
Yeah, it is just the love of it. And as things change, we just kind of have to go with it. I mean, we've had how many different formats of putting our shows together? Because I even have several interviews that are on Reel to Reel. John Hammond, we were talking about.
And, you know, think about what Daniel's doing.
Daniel, is there one favorite record here in the KUAF collection?
Usually it's the one I played last weekend. Quite often, with as many records as we have, I'm frequently coming upon new albums that I've never heard before. So more often than not, it's what I played last Friday after all these years. And we have some very generous listeners, too, that continue to contribute to our record collection with their personal collection. And boy, am I excited when I find it. And that's my latest.
Well, again, you know, this kind of comes back to your own taste to some extent. I mean, I think we all feel a commitment to help expand our own parameters in the hopes of expanding the parameters of the people that listen.
Well, and you get feedback, whether it's from somebody that would like a, you know, something on your show, or the guy years ago that heard it bouncing off the hills, you know.
Yeah. You do get feedback. Yeah. And we know our listeners. Mm-hmm. They're members of our community. We see them out and about. Mm-hmm. So it's more than just a radio show. Robert, I mean, you've been spending your weekend with the listeners for how many years now?
Yeah.
Paul? I've been at it since 2000. That's 13 years. It's a relationship that we share with our listeners. So we're looking forward to every week getting behind the microphone and doing what we do every weekend, talking to, playing music for our listeners.
Well, Daniel, you're on from midnight to 1, which isn't exactly, you know, it's not our highest listenership, we'll just say. You know, how do you face that kind of?
I mean, I speak to that listener.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's the bouncer finishing his night at a rowdy bar, looking to slow down his pace, somebody who's already slowed down their pace and is tucking themselves in for night. I hear from a lot of listeners that are traveling. They listen to me while they're on the road.
I was going to say that we got a lot of people on the road driving back from somewhere.
Right. And then there are those that are just heading out for their evening. So,
not me anymore.
No,
never was me.
I speak to those listeners, but I keep it soft. I keep it mellow. I keep it slow because, for the most part, we're winding down our evening at that time of night.
It's good night jazz.
That's right.
All right. Well, thank you, Daniel.
Thank you.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you. It was fun.
That was KUAF music producers Robert Ginsberg, Paul Kelso, and Daniel Estes inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio. They spoke to Ozarks at Large's Christina Thomas yesterday.